look at where we're at and what we're doing to a lost and dying world. I thank you, Father God, that you're here this morning in all your glory, that this is your service and you are in complete charge. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to open the windows of heaven and let us look through the portals of heaven and see what you see and not what our natural eyes see. Let us see people, Father God, the way you look at them. And let us repent. And let us do the works that you've called us for to do. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's so evident here this day. I thank you, Father God, for your angelic hosts that are constantly in our services. And I thank you for your Son Jesus' blood that seals us and the enemy can't destroy us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The first thing we want to tell you is the basilic spirit, season, starts on July the 23rd, and it runs through August the 12th, 2024. So as things start getting heavy and hectic, you know that the basilic spirit is on a move. Chris, do you have that up somewhere? Tell them what a basilic spirit is yet. Chris has said it's on the website and he sent it out to explain what happens when the basilic spirit is working. God is on the move in many different ways. And only those who have ears to hear are going to hear what God is doing. We can no longer be fooling around with half-truths and in the flesh. We have to be totally and completely in the spirit. If you're like me, you're feeling something heavy in the spirit realm, in the atmosphere. And God's not showing what it is, but there's something there that really needs to be taken care of through prayer and through hearing the voice of the Father. I'm just letting God have his way right now. So I don't know what he's wanting to do. You know, God called this the war in the heavenlies, this teaching this morning. About 4 years ago, God spoke to me and said, first there was me, God, he created. Then Jesus. And then he said the nations walked all over his blood. Then the Holy Spirit, the nations mocked and ignored his leading. And when God was telling us he was angry, he said, now I'm back once again with my wrath, and the people are going to know that I am God. You know, guys, you need to understand that God is a God of love. But like a parent, he only tolerates so much stupidity. And then you bring your anger, and you say, okay, now we got to get this thing straight. And this is what God is doing right now. He's brought his wrath upon the nations. So let's go through this, looking to see what God says. He said, instant gratification. What my children are looking for is instant gratification. They want it now. They do not want to go to war. They are content to have me drop everything in their laps. Then he says, that will never be. God's not going to drop anything in your lap. You know, everything you get from God is a free gift, but we have to do our part. And we have to war for what God wants us to have. If you read your scriptures, you'll find out that happened all through the scriptures. Nothing was ever dropped in anybody's lap. God said, there is a war going on in the heavenlies. It is raging hot. My cup of wrath is complete and it is boiling over. I have been speaking volumes to the nations, but they would not listen. So I have come to bring my wrath upon the nations. I will not stop pouring out my bowls of wrath upon the nations until they turn to me with all their hearts, true repentance, with true repentance on their lips. When God talks about nations, talk about the people. And because we people live in different states, if you notice what's going on in the different states, and if you notice when God goes through there was something disastrous, then he turns around and comes back through there again. I question God about these because they didn't change the first time I went through. They did not repent and receive me as their Lord and Savior. They weren't living for me. So just maybe if you're going through something in your own personal life and it keeps going around and around, it's because you have not repented. So God's come with his wrath again until he gets your attention. God said, I want to make America great again, but the people will not let me. They want the Baals of the world. They still want their kings. They enjoy the gross darkness. They desire pleasure for the moment. That describes America. The church is at the exact moment in time that Abraham was when he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the phrase, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, you find it in Colossians 3:6. The verse refers to the sins that are practiced by those who live in disobedience and how God's wrath is coming upon them. Ephesians 5:6 also contains a similar phrase, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And you know, God had me put the apple on the front of the bulletin, you know, Eve of the apple. They say it was a fig. I don't care what it was. Shade the fruit. Okay. I'm not going to argue that point. But, and she was in disobedience by eating of that fruit. And so when God had me put that on her, I said, that's something. He knew he was going to teach on this. And Ephesians 5:6 says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You are being disobedient to something God is telling you to do. Not always. We all know we go through Job experiences. We all know that God allows us to be tested and tried. But if you keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, you are doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Let's look at Genesis 18:20 in the Message Bible. God continued the cry. Now, this is talking about when he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's talking to Abraham. And Lot lives in Sodom and Gomorrah. God continued, the cries of the victims in Sodom and Gomorrah are deafening. The sin of those cities is immense. I'm going down to see for myself, see if what they're doing is as bad as it sounds. You know, that amazed me when I, you know, he heard it, and he's going to go down and see. You know, I know we all know that God is an all-seeing God. How come he had to go down and see? All right, just by picking that up. He said, I'm going down to see for myself, see if what they're doing is as bad as it sounds. Then I'll know. The men set out for Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sorry, for Sodom, but Abraham stood in God's path, blocking his way. Abraham confronted him, are you serious? Are you planning on getting rid of the good people right along with the bad? What if there are 50 decent people left in the city? Will you lump the good with the bad and get rid of the lot? Wouldn't you spare the city for the sake of those 50 innocents? I can't believe you do that. Kill off the good and the bad alike, as if there were no difference between them. Doesn't the judge of all the earth judge with justice? Then God said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again, he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. You know, they couldn't find 50, they couldn't find 45, they couldn't find 40. So now he's down to 30. God answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? And God said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? God answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. We all know that he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, so he couldn't even find 10 good people in those cities. And yes, we know he did destroy it, Sodom and Gomorrah, so therefore the good, if there was anyone there, died with the bad. Genesis chapter 19 tells it, if you want to read it, tells of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then God said, where are the righteous remnant? Even some of the righteous remnant has gone backward. They too have given into the pleasures of darkness. Now we know that as we read the story in chapter 19 of Genesis, that even Lot wanted to look back. And God, she said, you know, he lived there and he was a righteous man, but yet he sort of enjoyed a little bit of the sin that was going on there. But God allowed Abraham to pull his brother Lot out of there along with his family. We know that Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. She could not stand leaving the sin. I believe that's what happens in the house of God. God works with you and works with you and works with you, but when it comes down to the bottom line, you cannot leave the sin, and God leaves you. God's cup of wrath overflows. So it looks like a Jeremiah 25:15. Well, I want to read, where are the righteous, whoever's running that back there. Where are the righteous remnant, God's saying. Even some of the righteous remnant has gone backward. They too have given into the pleasures of darkness. I was shocked when God spoke to me about this. He said that some of the remnant will not make it because they will not give up their sin nature. And I really thought if you was in a remnant church and you were part of the remnant church, that nothing could stop you from making it, but God said that's not true. You know, I was sitting last night, there was something wrong in the atmosphere. So I was trying to hear from God, and I was sitting in front of my computer, you know, Casey talked. And I said, God, I'm waiting. I've been waiting a while. And he said, I'm not going to talk to you, so go do something. And I go hem a curtain. I didn't want to hem. But he literally told me, I'm not going to talk to you right now. Just go do something. Quit sitting there. You know, maybe you're sitting waiting for God to say something to you, and he's not going to talk. And you're wasting your time. There's nothing more to say. God has said it all. You know, I'm always praying for the church, for what's going on in the world, and it just could be that there's nothing else to say. It's all been said, and there's nothing new to say. And you can't make God talk when he doesn't want to. So quit trying to make him talk when he doesn't want to. So Jeremiah 25:15 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved, and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup of the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. You know, God has a cup of wrath for every state. And if we don't want to get it together, we're going to drink of that cup of wrath. I know God's teaching us because this is where he's at right now. You know, I've been saying I don't know where he's at. Well, this is where I'm at. I told you 3 years ago I'd come on the scene with my wrath, and now I'm moving and I am destroying. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness surpasses the truth. Read that again. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now, I said, the church has created a God in our image, after our likeness, and put forth a doctrine that God is love and only love and would never punish sin. I'm so tired of hearing that. From preachers, that is not a true statement. Still, the truth is that God will judge all who have never repented and trusted in Christ. Do you know how many people are going to hell because once saved, always saved is out there? The Bible says, and God reminded me this morning, work out your own salvation daily with fear and trembling. That's what it says, so that once saved, always saved can't be true. Work out your own salvation daily with fear and trembling. He had that on there this morning because I never had that. But that is what the scripture says. We all know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a God of wrath. We should all know that, but some people don't. The wrath of God, John 3:36, the wrath of God still abides on all who have not yet believed in Christ. To believe means to obey and do what Jesus commanded, and that is to abstain from sexual immorality, regardless of what the Supreme Court has ruled. God overrules. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of homosexuality. They even wanted to have sex with the angels who came in there to get Lot out of there. And Lot said, "You use my daughter instead, but leave the angels alone." That Sodom and Gomorrah was one wicked place. And if God is going to destroy two cities for homosexuality, where do you get the idea that that or lesbianism is godly? Yeah, it's not. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit. Where am I here? To believe means to obey and do what Jesus commanded, and that is to abstain from all sexual immorality. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. There is no amount of money, guys, to remove the wrath of God. Only the precious blood of Jesus does this. No amount of good works will ever save us, and God sees even our best efforts at good works to save us as filthy, dirty rags. I'm going to read what I was going to read at the end right now. You know, God told me that Isaiah 54 was my scripture. I could stand on it all the days of my life. Now, I was disobedient to God, and he was upset with me, but I want you to see what Isaiah 54 says in verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. That's my scripture, Isaiah 54. So I have to take the whole scripture. And I know there was a time when God was upset with me, and it's right in scripture, right in that scripture. And verse 9 says, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. See, God said, I'm not going to do this again to you. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I was so fixated on Isaiah 54:17 that I never went beyond that. Until the other night when I was studying. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But God did say to me one day, he said, daughter, I was angry with you, but I'm not angry anymore. And I'm not going to get angry with you again. And I'm going to bring you into a place of peace that no man will be able to steal from you. And he did that. But see how dumb I am? I've been studying that scripture since 1980. And just the other night, I realized what it said. So if God's going to get angry with me, he can get angry with you too. He's no respecter of persons. And he can withhold his hands from you for a season. You want to go ahead and do your thing, he'll let you do your thing. So quit complaining to him, because you're the one that wanted to do your thing. Okay, now I'm back to where I was. Where am I at? Verse 10. Am I on verse 10 with something? All right, I said, let's go to Isaiah 64:4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, and no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. If you're really, truly following Christ, he waits on you and he delivers you out of the snare of the fowler. Many believe they're a good person, but the truth is, no one, according to Romans 3:10-12, that no one is good, and all fall short of God's glory, and in Romans 3:23. Repent, or Jesus said you will perish, Luke 13:3, and die in your sins, John 8:21-24. I'm going to read up that scripture. So many believe they're a good person, but the truth is that no one is good, and all fall short of God's glory. Repent, or Jesus said you will perish and die in your sins. Do I take God's love for me for granted? I absolutely do not. Do I take for granted that he's told me that he would never be angry with me again for granted? No, I do not. I don't take any of that for granted. I serve a loving, caring Father who, he's concerned about everything about me. Everything. And he loves me. See, this is what you should say to yourself. He cares about me. He cares about everything, every thought, every whatever. He cares about it, and he still loves me. Sometimes I say, God, I'm so stupid. But you still love me. God, I don't feel worthy to stand behind a pulpit and give you word because of some of the dumb things I do at home sometimes. Do you ever feel like that? You do the dumbest things at home. You think, my Lord, you shouldn't do that. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, he picks you up and dusts you off real hard, smack, smack, and sends you on your way again. All right? And we're supposed to learn a lesson from what we do wrong, not keep doing the same thing over and over again. All right, Psalms 2:12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. You know, if you ever read the word about Jesus and his disciples, he got upset with them at a drop of a hat. Did you ever really look at that? You know, it wasn't a lovey-kissy ooh-ooh thing with them. They were always doing something dumb, and he was upset with them. In fact, I think he thought, oh, I got to get away from these guys, God, and he'd go to the mountain. You know, and talk to the Father. Why do we think we're always going to be loving and kissy-kissy to each other? We all have personalities. We all do things that bother somebody else. We need to learn to get over that kind of junk. And so we make mistakes. We ask God to forgive us, and we go on. You aren't perfect, so quit trying to make the person next to you perfect. That's what God said one time. Today, God's righteous cup of wrath is spilled over, and his judgment is flooding down upon all unrepentant sinners. Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You know, I know that this is going to make some of you mad, but President Trump should have been in office this last time. And God said to me, he said, they want a king. I'm going to give them a king. And so do you know the story in the Bible about they wanted a king, and so God gave them King Saul, and he messed up really bad. And he said, I'm going to give them a king. That's because that's what they desire. And I'm going to let them see what their king is going to do for them. But I can't believe they would really be willing to put the king back in office again. I don't care who you are. If God says he wants you to be the president, then you are to be the president. And the people are supposed to be seeking God's face and see what God wants. Not what you want, but what God wants. You know, and I'm sorry, but I don't care about the color of your skin. We all bleed the same. All right? And one day we're all going to sit together in heavenly places if we get it together. So, what always concerns me is, what does God want? What is it God wants? Not what I want. See, God knows, he sees behind the scene. And he knows what a person is going to do. Where all we see is what they throw that in our face. You know, that's all. They only let us see what they want us to see. They don't show us the whole truth. God knows the whole truth. All right. I said, there is no shortage of feel-good preachers out there today, and they are deceiving many. They are deceiving many with empty words, and these empty words are their messages. There is no hell, no wrath. God accepts all sin and condones human behavior. But they are deceiving themselves and many others. The wrath of God will be fiercer on those who teach such lies and omit from their pulpit messages the need for repentance, the necessity of forgiveness, the cross, living a holy life, and obeying God. When I was out on this road, I was shocked at how many pastors did not want you to say that your sins are going to take you to hell. They didn't want that spoken to their people. They wanted me to give a message that itched their ears, and I never did that. And it wasn't the people that didn't receive it. It was the pastors that didn't receive it. But you know why that is? If the pastors receive it, they have to live it. And they weren't living it, so they didn't want it preached. Are you listening? You'll find yourself, whenever you go out to minister, if there's something you don't understand, you won't preach that until you have a good understanding of it, because you don't want to teach false doctrine. And God even told us here, if you can't live the message, don't stand behind this pulpit and give a message that you're not living. And this is why the church is in a mess. There's too many standing behind the pulpit giving messages that they themselves don't even live. And I'm sorry, but the little sheep are so dumb, they can't discern good from evil. And then they get all carried away and quit church and everything else. And they should not blame God. They should blame themselves, because they weren't in the Word themselves, and they didn't know how to rightly divide the Word. Instead of even blaming the person up there giving the Word. All right? I've been in many churches, and I don't know my Word. I can't memorize Word. I can't do that. I've been in many churches, though, I've heard them preaching where I thought, they've twisted that. That isn't what that says. And I go home and check, and sure enough, they did twist it. But how many people in the house of God don't do that? You know, they believe everything that pastor tells them. You shouldn't believe everything I tell you. Even though if you don't, God's going to get you. No, I'm just... no, I'm just... You know, no, I'm just teasing. But you shouldn't. You should go home and check it out for yourself. And when you're checking it out, don't try to make it say what you want it to say. Go and check it out to see what God is saying about it. All right? I lost my place again. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. You know, guys, one day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to be judged for everything you did, every lie you told, you know, every soul you didn't win over to Christ that he had marked for you to win. God's day of wrath is here and has been for at least 3 years. That's why we're seeing all the things we're seeing. you know, it'll dumb me again. You know, it wasn't until God wanted to give me about, wanted me to give this about wrath. I said, that's right, you told me that. And ever since he told me his wrath was there, things have been going on. You know, things have been, you know, places have been destroyed, all kind of weather conditions. God was true to his word. He brought his wrath, and America is in trouble. Now, God wants to undo all that, but America has to turn around. America has to turn around to serve God. You know, this morning I was, 4 o'clock, I was laying in the bed, and that first song we sang, you know, that There's Rain Coming, that started singing, you know, singing in my spirit, and it kept on up until about 9:30. I'm just going to go turn it on and listen to it. Maybe it'll go away. But you know, God was giving me a message. There's a rain coming. The glory's coming. Revival's coming. He kept that up from 4 o'clock until 9:30. I listened to the song as we sang, and I said, oh, that's what you were trying to tell me. See how? Don't think you're stupid. I am too. You know, we don't comprehend what God's saying right away. And I'm thinking, why am I hearing this song over and over and over again? God was giving me a message. And so I'm giving it to you. The rain is coming. The miracles are coming. You know, they are coming just as sure as we're sitting in this room today. Are you going to be in the circle working the miracles with God? That depends on you. Where are you at with your Father? Each man and woman will be judged according to their works, and that culminates in the fierce wrath of God with unending torment, which is in hell. That's in Revelations 20, 12 through 15. There will be some who hear this and reject it, but they will never forget this warning and regret it forever. And I pray that's not you. You know, ever since I've been preaching, what, since 78, 80 or something like that, I am totally amazed at the amount of people that don't want to live a holy life. One time God had me bend over the pulpit crying. And he said, are you going to leave me too? The people do not want to live a righteous life. That's why it says very few will find that narrow path. I'm not going to judge you because you want the wide road. You're judging your own self because you're going to live in hell. My job is just to tell you the truth. See, I know this guy's, I've tried to get people, don't ever try to get people saved. I wear myself out doing that. And God said, daughter, if the Holy Spirit can't get them saved, what makes you think you can get them saved? And if I can't get them saved, why do you think you can get them saved? You're not God. He said, just give them the word. That's all you need to do. And then you walk on. What they do with the word that you give them is totally up to them. That should free a lot of you up. It freed me up because I wore myself out, going back to the same people over and over, visiting their homes and try to convince them that the word was true. And the Holy Spirit couldn't do it, so what makes me think I can? All I was supposed to do is plant the seed. That's all you're supposed to do is plant the seed. Maybe the seed's already planted with you young kids, with your youth group. The seed might be already planted and you're coming along and you're watering it. I don't know. Only God knows. Revelation 14, 10 through 11, talking about Satan. He, Satan, also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. These worshippers are the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Now, I put that in there so you can see that if you're serving Satan, he's going to drink from this cup of wrath also. So why would you want to follow somebody that's going to drink the cup of God's wrath? God's wrath is just as real as his mercy and his love and forgiveness. But his wrath has been placed on his Son for all who have repented, turned away from and forsaken their sins, then trusted in Christ. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were laid on Jesus. And his blood covers those sins. Anyone who trusts in their goodness will drink from the cup of wrath of God, full strength. And what a tragedy, because they could have trusted in Christ and had that wrath removed from them this very day. Sadly, most will not. If you read about wrath, you'll find it that sum it all up. That's what it all sums up to. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. What's it say? Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Just receiving Christ into your life doesn't hack it. You have to obey him. You have to obey the word. Do what the word's telling you. A lot of people think just because they went to church and say, somebody said, repeat after me, and they did. They think they're on their way to heaven, and they're not. They're not. They have to work out their salvation. Jesus gives us two choices. There are only believers and unbelievers. Those who haven't made a decision have made a decision, and that is to reject Christ. People say to me, well, I haven't made my decision yet. Yes, you have. You've rejected Christ. Those on the fence must understand that the fence and all unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire. You read that in Revelation 21:8. Today, while you still can choose to hear his voice, because today might be your last day of choosing Christ for eternal life. And you'll find that in 2 Corinthians 6:2. A final warning comes from Paul in Romans 5:8-9. Paul says, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. In other words, while we're still sinners. Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. The blood covers you. Choose life in Christ or separation from God before the time of repentance will be long gone. Remember, God said there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to repent. And you're going to be standing on the riverbank watching the others in the river, in the anointing, in the Spirit, and you're going to want to get in, and you won't be able to get in. So today is the day to choose. You know, yesterday was, the day before that was, last week, last month, last year. But God is telling you about the wrath that he's pouring out right now. Choose life in Christ or separation from God before the time of repentance will be long gone. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you've been risen with Christ, if you receive Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He's saying, put all that stuff out of your life. I do not see that in the house of God. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh the children of disobedience. Oh, for which things? Anyhow, verse 7 said, in the which he also walked sometime when you lived in them. In other words, before you were saved, you walked this way. But once you supposedly received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and covered the blood, you should no longer walk that way. There should be a difference in the way you walk. All right? And I was talking to God last night, and the reason why, if you truly are sold out to God, why you're so angry at times is you're feeling God's emotions. God is upset with the body of Christ, the world at large, really, but upset with the body of Christ because they are portraying a picture which they are not living. And he's angry. And, of course, we feel his emotions. And then we get angry. If you're really walking with God, and when you're around sin, it will bother you. If you're walking around anger, somebody's angry, or an atmosphere of anger, it will bother you because your spirit man wasn't made for that. Your spirit man was made for love and peace. And that happens to me, and I get so upset. And then God said, it's because your spirit man is grieved. it to sin around about you. So, you know, ask God while you're feeling what you're feeling. So you know what's going on in your life and you know how to react. He says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I mean, the communication out there is filthy. And when I hear a Christian use that word, I like to go over and stuff dirt in their mouth. You say you're a child of God and you talk just like the world does. It says here you shouldn't do that. Isn't that what that just said? Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. He doesn't care what you are. Christ is all in all. All right? Now, God's teaching you about wrath. His wrath is here so you guys can tell the new people about God's wrath. You are supposed to get this down in your spirit, man, so that you can tell them when they receive Christ, okay, our God is a God of love, mercy, grace, long-suffering, but our God is also a God of wrath. Then you need to teach them how they need to get out of their old ways or carnal ways and move on over into God's ways. Are you understanding this? So this is really a teaching for you to go out and teach others, but also a lesson for us to learn. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Right now I'm having a hard time with that. I'm being honest. You know, we're not perfect 100%. I'm not even perfect 99.9%. You know, there's just something sometimes just... You know, you're trying to, you forgive somebody over and over and over and over. But God told me one time, whenever I say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. He said, don't ever pray that ever again. Because when they do it over and over again, they know exactly what they do and they calculate how they're going to do it. So I'll just let you know that. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. Charity is love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. What does it say to do? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You young kids are going to be doing the youth. You need to be teaching them. They just can't come in the house of God and sit here and oh lolly dolly and you know and dance and jump around and carry on. You have to teach them how to become children of God. And if you older people, do you ever think about why so many marriages fail? It's because parents never taught their children how to be a married person. Right? You didn't. If a lot of you didn't know the ins and outs of anything, now if you're as old as I am, old as dirt, you didn't talk about sex, you know. So you went into a marriage totally blind, and you didn't have pornography and all that kind of stuff. And then if that wasn't a trip, I don't know what was, you know. Right? But you know, we got to start teaching you young girls. You got to start teaching these other kids that you bring that come into your youth group. Teach them the right way to live. You probably say, well, I've been there, but I was wrong, and this is what I'm doing now. Don't be afraid to tell them that you did something wrong. I mean, that's the way you're going to reach people. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This is all going on, isn't it? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If you do a favor for me, you're not doing it so that people can say, oh, look how nice she is to her mother. No, you're doing it for the Father, because you're helping another human being. Are you understanding that? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And that's why I put Isaiah 54 in there, when God had put his wrath on me. And God said, my children, I am calling you again to look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Never forget Sodom and Gomorrah. God told me years back, he said, I'm going to destroy two cities overnight. He told me of all the destruction that was going to happen. And he said he's going to destroy two cities. So you can watch for that. It's going to happen. I serve a God who doesn't lie. And I believe what my God tells me. And everything he's ever told me has come true to this point. And so I'm sure not going to start doubting him now. It's too late in the game. This is whenever we need to be trusting and believing God with all of our hearts. I'm hearing God say, you have to be true to yourself first. You have to sit down and get honest with yourself and be truthful of where you're at and what you are doing and what you are not doing. Before you can help somebody else, you have to help yourself. Too many people want somebody else to help them. I'm going to tell you, you serve a Father that if you just get alone with him and you sit and you talk, and you can't lie to him because he knows all truth. Just say, okay, here I am. This is what I do. You're a little wayward daughter here. This is what I've done, or this is what I'm thinking or feeling. And I need to get rid of this because I can't help others if I myself am bound. And then I don't care how many times you have to do that, do it until you're free. Because your Father in heaven is waiting to hear from you, and that is the truth. I don't serve a Father that's far off. I serve a Father that's closer than a brother, according to my word. I don't know who you serve or what you serve, but God is there waiting, he's just waiting for you. And he's probably saying, oh, come on. He's probably just sitting there just begging you, come on, let's get together and let's have this conversation and let's get things in order so that you can move forward to do my mighty works. God said we're standing in a stream of living water today. And then in that stream, he keeps telling me electricity, in that stream is electricity. And as you stand in that stream, God wants to eradicate out of you everything that's not of him. Say, you guys, you quit fooling yourself. You know, you say one thing one day, and next day you say something totally different. It contradicts what you just said the day before. You're walking in confusion. You can't walk in confusion and help other people.